Yeah, well, I guess you should just love the sound of your own voice as much as I do. And then maybe you can have
Yeah.
episodes that are as long as ours.
So here's the thing. My building is like two stair, it's like three flights of stairs up. And so what I'll do is I just like order like 12 packs of soda at a time.
12
And
12 packs?
yeah. Like I said, he said pallet. I said it's not far from the truth.
That's
I'm
like the
not I
bottom
like
layer of the pallet,
or 20,
basically.
124. I'm really good at math.
But
that's a
it's
lot, though.
so I get it in bulk like that, and I order it like once every couple months, and because I don't want to haul them all the way up the stairs, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
So I have the delivery guy do it for me.
That
A
poor
man of
dude.
innovation. So you got 124 Mountain Dew Baja Blast Zeros
I get
delivered
various
at
flavors.
once.
I think I generally get like three Mountain Dew, three Cherry Coke, a bunch of caffeine free Coke for like after 6 p.m. sodas.
It's very
You know.
responsible.
Yeah. No, I have all my like sodas for
Just a
different times of the
system.
day, and you know, yeah.
You know what, Mike? I feel like that's just let's just start the episode there. Because I can't imagine anything more relevant to the importance of today's episode than getting the vivid details of how much soda you get delivered at once and why. Hey, welcome everybody. This is the Notorious Scoundrels and the Fifth Trooper. We're here together, all four of us together for the first time. Now, how long have you guys been working, been doing work for this website now? Is it like 5 months?
Something
Like,
like that.
yeah,
Six,
five,
maybe?
five or
Five,
six,
six.
something like that.
Yeah. How do you like it so far? You're
It's
being recorded,
great.
by the way.
Yeah.
It's
Everything's awesome.
awesome.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Good, good.
You're great, Evan.
Yes. I'll just be saving these clips for later. Cool. Well, hey, I do think that it's important. Like there might be still some folks out there who, you know, aren't subs they're not subscribed to the YouTube, and they've just been like subscribed to the Scoundrels like on the podcast app for forever, and they might still not know about the fact that Fifth Trooper Podcast is back. But this is just like your regular reminder, it's back. What have you been up to? Like, what's up next for you? As like we're recording this on December 20th in preparation for the actual Festivus Day. But what's next for you guys?
Next up, we've got a couple of kind of year in review videos that'll be occupying January. So we're gonna have one that's looking forward and to all of the releases of 2026, and we're gonna do our sigh and buy, since that was our first episode and people seem to like that. So we're gonna do that again, just with all of the 2026 releases. And then also Isaac doesn't know this yet, but
I do this to
I've
Mike
got a
all the
great
time.
episode, is that we're gonna talk about every single keyword in this game, and we're gonna rank them. We're
In a
gonna rank.
single
I actually
episode.
love that.
But I don't know if we'll get it through a
Ranking the
single episode. We might
keywords.
need to split it into a
It would
two-parter,
be.
but we're
I
gonna
love that
rank
though.
every keyword that is in Star Wars Legion, from the best keywords that you want to see on your troopers and on your cards, to the absolute worst keywords, and that we think, why did this ever get written?
I
All
love
right,
that.
so that's a really great idea, and I'm gonna like try to do my best, because like it's easy to predict what the best keyword is gonna be or what the worst keyword is gonna be. At least it's easy to get close. But you know what's hard? I'm gonna see where Mike comes down on this. Is what is the most middle keyword of all of them? Like, what is
Who's
the
mid?
most average keyword in terms of how much you like seeing it? And I think that the answer is gonna be marksman, is gonna be
Marksman.
right in the middle. What do you think about that, Mike?
Thinking.
Um, It's hard, right, to think of like ones that don't really stand out in your brain.
I think this is insanely subjective.
No, it's literally not, because once they're done, they're going to have one that's exactly in the middle.
Yeah. I think I would... See, marksman is one that's either really good or really bad.
Context is key on that one.
Context is super... Yeah. If I had to pick one, it'd be unhindered.
Oh, I think that might be one of the worst.
No, unhindered,
like you can get that with a 2-point upgrade.
Sure, sure. Well, but so that's, I guess, what I'm saying is like,
yeah,
like, are we grading keywords based on cost? I don't think
are you
grading?
This is
are you grading keywords based on just the text of the keyword? Because I think based on just the text of the keyword, I think unhindered is middle of the pack as you can get.
Yeah,
I feel like it's on so many cards, and we just like don't actually even care if it's there.
But it's not bad.
Yeah, it's like not upset.
but like if Mud Troopers, or let's say Wet Weather Stormtroopers get revealed, and that literally the only keyword they come with is unhindered, like I can say for a fact that you and me, Mike, are gonna go unenthused.
Sure, but that's not bad.
It's better than not being unhindered.
Yeah, I was thinking fire support. Just very in the middle. It's just like, if you have fire support, you like it. If you don't have fire support, you're probably not trying to find it. You're not being like, I gotta make fire support in there.
I'm gonna have to kill another one of Owen's Tours of Duty.
All right. Well, before we infringe too much on the future content of the Fifth Trooper podcast, I think we should move on to the name of the game for today, which is that this is coming out on December 23rd. As everyone should know, thanks to the cultural impact of one of America's greater works, which is the TV show Seinfeld, that December 23rd is, of course, the day of Festivus. Now, before I like lapse into generational anger, which will happen eventually, but before I do that, I need to just make sure, like, you guys have seen at least one episode of Seinfeld, right? And I'm talking about the youth here.
Really? I have. Yeah. I mean, I don't know like the plot in depth, but I've watched enough to understand who the characters are a little bit.
Mike,
Evan, hold Friends me back. Was before my time.
I can't.
Okay, but not Evan, actually.
I'm not going to hold you back. I've seen a lot of episodes of Seinfeld, and the show is atrocious.
Comments. Let us know how you feel about that. Go.
Oh man, Mike has gone into the full Mike mode already. So I'm looking forward to atrocious. Okay, hang on. We don't have the time. If we end up with the time, then I will air a grievance about the thing that Mike literally just said. But listen. So Festivus, for those of you who haven't seen, God help you, it is a holiday that George's family makes up because they're tired of the corporateness of Christmas. But it can be celebrated by anybody. There's a lot of traditions that are involved. We're going to focus on one of them, which is the customary airing of grievances.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Which is, in that show, is usually about like the other people at the dinner table. But I think that, you know, we're gonna mostly stay Legion focused when it comes to our podcast rather than us like throwing mud at each other. Another tradition is that you always have to have a Festivus pole, which is a nondescript pole of metal. Here it's going to be the socket wrench is our Festivus pole. So just wanted to make sure everybody knew that we're ready to celebrate it. We'll skip the feats of strength because that's tough to do on a podcast. So we're gonna stick with the airing of grievances. And we all came prepared. And I want to start with Michael.
I get to start.
You're gonna have the floor, and then we'll give it to our TFT buddies, and then I'll bring up the rear as far as these go.
The real question is, which one of these should I pick?
It's the 99 theses nailed to the door.
This might be more controversial than the 99 Theses were, which was pretty controversial at the time.
Apparently. It made most history books. So.
I wanna start with a Legion adjacent.
Sure, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to. We talked a little bit about this on the Discord, in the TFT Discord, the last couple weeks, but I am tired of Lucasfilm and Disney and everything previewing shows and games and movies and just general Star Wars content, getting me and all of you excited about this insanely awesome Star Wars content that they're gonna make, and then 2, 3, 4, 5 10,
Preach.
15 years go by, and the things that they promise don't happen, and I'm like really over it. They previewed the new, like, Fate of the Republic, like, Knights of the Old Republic game at the Game Awards.
Yep.
I want to be excited, but this is, like, the fourth time they've previewed something that is, like, the Knights of the Old Republic sequel, and all the rest of them have been canceled. Half the, like, Star Wars shows on Disney Plus have been canceled before they've come out. My God, people, get your act together.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on this. I think this is a true conversation that I had at work with one of my friends, loves Star Wars, and he mentioned the fact that he was like, "Oh, are you going to see The Mandalorian and Grogu?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll see that when it comes out. What is that, like 2030?" And he's like, "No, that's next year." And I was like, "Oh, I had no idea it was actually coming out," because I stopped noticing any of that stuff. Because they're just like, "Oh yeah, you know, we got a Rogue Squadron movie coming out." No, we're not. "Well, we got a this movie coming out." Nope. "We got Taika Waititi doing a thing." No, we don't. Like, all of these things just get announced, and at whatever big Star Wars or movie or video game thing, and then immediately canceled in like 3 years' time. That it's like, was there anyone ever working on this stuff in the first place? Like, was this a real thing? Or did they just take a slideshow, throw it up on screen, and just say, like, "Look, it's there"? Like, to back Mike up, in 2021, we saw the trailer for Star Wars Eclipse, a video game that still isn't out, then we don't even know anything is about. At least it has a website now, which
I saw the Fate of the Old Republic trailer, I actually went back to the Eclipse website to see if there's been any updates, but there hasn't been nothing.
That's a Quantic Dream game, though, so, like,
at least
it's to be expected.
I do want to tie this back to Legion, though.
Ah,
okay.
And Will Schick.
Oh, no. We're only 10 minutes into the podcast.
I'm looking at you, sir. Geonosian Battle Force Wen. I'm lumping that in this bucket.
I think that the recent comment was that they are short a couple releases of what they would want to have available before they made that a thing. For whatever it's worth.
I'm just, you know.
I feel like we need a small disclaimer at the bottom of this that says the opinions that are shared upon this cast are not views shared by all of the Fifth Trooper. Will coming after me.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Will can come after me anytime.
He can come after me for some other things, but not that.
No, yeah. I had the exact same thought when I saw the Fate of the Old Republic trailer.
Yeah.
It's the same thought that I had when I saw the Mass Effect trailer 5 years ago, that there was going to be like a continuation of Mass Effect. And we still have not heard any more news about that one.
Well, that's because Corey Hudson is working on Fate of the Old Republic.
Because now he's working on Fate of the Old Republic. But
you're breaking my heart.
Yeah. So listen, I think until... If it's a movie, once you see an actual trailer for that, or a TV show, then you should be safe. If it's a video game, then once you see a gameplay trailer, then you're usually going to be sort of safe. But a CG trailer for the video game, like, consider it vaporware until proven otherwise, and then at least you won't be disappointed. That's basically what I would say. Do you play like any of the Star Wars video games, Isaac? You do, right? Like,
I mean, I played all the Battlefronts and stuff, and I played a lot of like old Commando games. It's been a minute since I've been in my PC gaming era, though. I won't lie.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, cool. I wanted to look this up just to be sure that I am correct on this, but we did see a gameplay trailer for 1313.
Which didn't come out.
That's true.
Which got canned. But it never will.
It got canned because LucasArts ceased to exist, for whatever that's worth. That was like a little bit of a different story. Because, you know, EA bought it and then they just like, you know, threw everything in the garbage that they had not already been working on. So there's some hope. That XCOM-ish game, Zero Company, like that is going to probably come out. So we got
supposed
that.
To come out in like 2 months.
Really?
Will it?
Oh, man. I would have expected to see more gameplay by now.
I have it wishlist on Steam. Let me pull it up.
Oh man.
Let me pull it up.
Here. Now I'm getting scared. I'm
looking at it. Mm-hmm. Zero Company. Wish release date. I thought it was Q1 2026, but now it says coming soon.
Coming soon. So it'll get canned.
It's possible, I guess. Man, if they can't get an XCOM game out, then it's a real sign of trouble. All right. Owen, let's go with you next. I'm just going to go clockwise or counterclockwise.
I'm going to start Legion adjacent as well and go farther off. The first one that I would like to complain about, I would like to have a conversation with whoever designs the sprues for units and how these things are put together, because here's like a variety of complaints that I have. The first of which, the Wookiees. We have too many arms. We have too many heads. We have not enough bodies. Okay? Give me more bodies. Just let me buy just bodies somewhere so I can just get that part.
Are there more heads than bodies in the Wookiee pack?
Yeah, more heads than bodies and arms.
There's a lot of bits.
Yeah, there's a lot of bits. And it's not like I can, like, take those bits and, like, oh, let me do something cool and, like, add him into the terrain of something else, because that gets way gory. That is not the Legion I want to play. So
Wookiee
I don't like
Empire.
This. I don't like the absolutely ridiculously fragile pieces either. That like Jyn Erso's little cape. What is that? Why is that a thing? Like
it's soft plastic is what it is.
It's awful, is
what it
is. It's
like a scarf.
Yeah, like that scarf is so hard to glue together. Like, can we not do tiny little things like that? Like, they could have just made the torso with the scarf already on it.
I once
like,
lost
they could have just
that
had
scarf.
That be the thing that got printed.
Oh, no.
That would have been fine.
I lost it for like a year, and I found it like just randomly one day, and it was just highlight of my week. This random little scarf bit. I was like, wow. Yeah.
Well, to go back to the Wookiees, the other thing I have a complaint with them is that like they have these guns or swords that you're supposed to glue to their backs, but there's not really like a way
yeah,
to attach
you,
it.
You have
it's
to
like
kind of just eyeball it for the swords.
Yeah,
in the back.
You just throw some glue on it. You just slap it on the back and you pray it works. And I'm like, come on, can we not get like a little?
Well,
like
there's
a little,
there's a little indent in the gun, and it goes on the there's like a little half semicircle on the back of the Wookiee's armor. That's where it's supposed to go.
I'm aware, but like, what if we got like an actual little peg that came out that you could
I'll
just
say
stick
that
into
the
a slot, like
the
everything
newest,
else that we have.
The newest minis that have come out, like the customizables, for folks that are really paying attention, they'll actually notice that it's sort of a third generation of the plastic, that it's a little bit darker, and the detail is like a little bit more than it usually had been. Those have actually been really good. So if that's anything to, you know, if that's anything to guess
me,
from,
those Wookiees are inside of my starter set.
I think the Wookiees are this. They're still the old second generation sprues that they just like repackaged. So like the actual brand new plastic, I think, is better. For whatever that's worth. But yes, bits that are hard to put together
bits that are hard to put together, or to just to find. Like, if someone wants to make a bunch of money out there, just have an entire store that's just nothing but bits of Star Wars sets, and I will gladly pay $3 for a Wookiee body to stick all of these arms and heads on.
You might be able to find that out there, but what's funny is that for licensing reasons, they would need to like come up with silly like words for them that aren't related to Star Wars.
Furball bits.
Yeah, like I think I remember like there was a Lockdurd mini that was like the Rotund Commander or something like that. But anyway, yeah, that's a good one. All right, Isaac, what do you got?
Whoa, before we go any farther, I want to just say I completely disagree with this one.
What?
Ooh.
Jesus, Mike.
I think there's not enough bits in these boxes, and I wish there were more arms and more legs and more heads than...
You want to have more options.
You don't like the newer sprues. The newer sprues are, like, super clean. Like, you get done, there's, like, nothing left on it. No extra
gear.
Yeah,
see, I don't like that. I would prefer to have a ton of bits so that I can go and convert stuff later. Or convert stuff now. I'm, like, I like that a lot.
It is fun to do that.
Like, I think with what they're doing with Rebels, with, like, all the head swapping stuff, I think it's great.
Yeah, and clones.
Yeah.
Until you get the person that notices the fact that Mon Calamari have different arms. And so just putting their head on top of it doesn't matter because
really
they have different arms.
There's like a hybrid. It's a hybrid Rebel Trooper.
Uh-huh.
They were made on Kamino and they were made poorly. What kind of...
Got rushed. They had quotas to meet.
All right, Isaac, what do you got?
Yes, mine's, I guess, more Legion-centered, but it's more of a concept. I like a lot of realism in my games, as well as a lot of my local players. They like to have more realistic elements in their games. So one of those things that often comes up is a firearm discipline, just shooting Z6s through your friendly models.
Oh,
sometimes ruins the immersion.
You've talked about this before.
Yeah, and with the, you know, frag grenades that blow up at range one and or in melee.
Yeah, so, melee thermal detonators. Yeah, I'm with
so
you
like
on that one.
That's part of it. And one thing that I would really love to see at some point in Legion is indirect fire in any capacity whatsoever. So like artillery, mortars that function like mortars. Like I'd love to see like a mortar pit, something to like move units if they're like trenched in somewhere. Okay, we shell that position. I would love to see that give and take in the terrain or just in the game. Like if there's like a really centered terrain piece, being able to bring a tool to be like, okay, well, that's a really heavily fortified position. I have a tool to deal with that. I'm not necessarily so at such a disadvantage if there's like a terrain element that is really gonna, you know, be advantageous to my opponent or something. And it's like the most lethal thing in war since like World War and up. Like it's like 70% of casualties
mortars and artillery.
Yeah, and we have like none of that.
It's more than three white dice with critical one. I guess it's two black dice with critical one.
Right, and like they're the way they fight, like you don't run up with the mortar, just like level it and shoot it directly at them, you know? Like,
I don't know what you do, but I do that.
That's considered a war crime, I think.
That said, if it's so good in Star Wars, then why is it that FFG had to literally make up the mortar whole cloth in order to get it into the game? Because there's never been any kind of parabolic weapon in all of Star Wars. Like,
why do you
ever
need parabolic weapons when you just drop them from?
I mean, so that's the thing is that if you can have a Star Destroyer just orbital bombard, you know, their butts, then the whole
air
mortar
superiority.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. But the crossfire thing, it I feel like, I mean, Mike, do you ever worry, like, do you ever notice that? Because I feel like I've gotten to the point that I don't notice it at all.
No, I mean, like, from like, oh, man, I don't think that they should be able to make this shot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, but, you know, after, you know, 1500 Legion games.
We've played this game a long time, so we've just become blind to it.
I only notice it because I'll play like World War II games like Bolt Action, and you can't do that. And I'm constantly like, oh, I'm going to move my MG42 over here to shoot. And they're like, you can't do that. You just shredded all your buddies in front of you.
Lord of the Rings does it really well.
Right. And
stuff. The good guys can't, and the bad guys can.
Ah, cool.
And yeah.
So much that it's a strategy for the bad guys to, like, shoot your own man. Like, if Aragorn's tied up with an orc, you're like, all right, I'm just going to kill that orc. So Aragorn shut off for the turn. So you can, like, actually weaponize friendly fire.
That's sick.
I don't know if that would be good for the game state of Legion, but interesting.
Yeah, and as far as the terrain stuff goes, it is funny that, like, you know, a lot of the AMG folks came from Privateer Press, because if you've played War Machine or Hordes, then those games are, like, very terrain-centric in terms of how they work. Like, there's even characters that... There's one character in particular that I remember that could, like, create a hill as, like, his ability, or to like, flatten terrain as an ability. So it is sort of interesting, but at a certain point, things just get so crunchy in terms of the rules that it becomes, like, tough to sort of keep people engaged in the game. And ironically, even though, like, pretty much every blaster in Star Wars comes from a World War II gun that
has been modified,
the tactics don't really seem to.
These are all just World War II weapons that fire lasers, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, the more you get into it, the more you realize that's true. All right, so I've got one next. Which one am I going to do? Am I going to do the actual controversial one? Yeah, I guess so. So...
Do it.
This is about militant Legion hipsterism. And Mike probably knows what I'm talking about.
I know, right? You don't even need to say anything else.
Yeah,
but
Mike already knows everything, but I'm going to do my best to explain. So I want to say up front that there's a brand of player out there who likes trying to make quote unquote unworkable things work. And to, like, play a variety of things, play underplayed things. And, you know, sometimes those players, like, crash and burn, and sometimes those players do really well. Like, you know, you got your Reagan Dugans out there who, you know, often makes it his mission to do something that's underplayed, and then, you know, to get really far or to win a tournament, or even our own friend of the podcast, local of mine, world champion Isaiah Wallace, is somebody else who enjoys doing that. And one time he did that and he ended up winning worlds because he decided had the idea that he was the only person who understood that this concept would work. And as far as I'm aware, he was, like, the only person who was even thinking to use Obi-Wan in the way that he did. And it totally worked out. And that was awesome. So players like that, neither Mike nor I are ever going to disparage experimentation or look down on it or whatever. But we're also not going to disparage or look down on anybody who, like, just wants to play the stuff that's proven to be good and to play meta lists. Like, if people are netlisting whatever, I certainly have done it myself. And it's just, like, a way to get there. But what I'm getting at is that there are some folks who have the opinion that when somebody labels a unit or a strategy or maybe even a keyword as quote unquote bad, that we're committing some kind of an unholy sin, and that there is truly a use for everything, and that only a rube who is unenlightened would say that the Wookiee shooters, for instance, are so bad that you should basically never play them outside of maybe the context of Wookiee Defenders Battle Force, which is definitely the position that Mike and I hold as far as the Wookiee shooters go. And it's probably stuff that we've said about a variety of things. So what I have to say to that is that if you have the secret sauce and that something's actually good, then you might be right. And we are going to be happy to correct ourselves if we, like, make a call that something is unworkable and then somebody finds a way to work. I myself said that about Dark Troopers early on in 2.6, that I didn't think that they were much good because they were, like, armor 3, and I thought that they could just die too fast. And then I think it was Raul Rosado, like, won a tournament near you, Mike, with triple Dark Troopers, and like, he was one of the first people I saw that did, like, assault cannon only, leaving out the blast weapon, and, like, it showed how efficient that could be. And we called it out on the podcast that, or at least I called it out, that I mislabeled that one. And so it's totally fine to call us wrong, of course. It's awesome if you can prove that a bad, quote unquote, bad unit is actually good. But just the fact that we like try to be honest about things and label things, like, please just don't call us villains for just trying to be honest about the fact that something seems rough. Because there's no other way to do it aside from be honest. Like, we could clickbait and like lie about our opinions in order to get people to click on crap, but none of this is important enough for any of us to ever do that. This is a Star Wars dolls game when you get down to it. Let's just chill out is what I'm saying. If you feel like you have a secret sauce, don't say that we're a bunch of dummies for saying something is bad. Just go prove it, and then we will be happy to call it out. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well said.
Yeah, you are supposed to tell me that, so thank you.
Is that part of the...
I'm reading the script.
Say, well, like, said, yeah,
I agree.
And then you, Isaac, say that you agree. All right, Mike, you go ahead.
All right. So you took my second one, sort of.
Did I really?
Well, kind of. You've already mentioned my second one, and my second one was, where's Mass Effect 5? So here we are. But I think I want to talk about one that happened to me today. So this is also about video games and stuff in general. I was playing, we've been playing Return to Moria. Mm-hmm. There's a new DLC came out for it. It is so unfinished, guys. It is like unpolished, unfinished, bugs everywhere. And this is
what
just
kind
like
of game
video,
is this, by the way?
It is a open world survival crafting game where,
oh, man.
In this one, I love these.
that's good.
Which is hilarious because I also love these and we do not play together.
I mean, I basically played all of them now, but I definitely down to play. I've considered doing like a TFT thing where like we put together a server or something.
I mean, we should because like I just picked up this game this morning.
So,
and I know exactly what you're talking about. So go off, game.
Yeah. So like, the video game industry is just rampant with like these like early access unfinished games trying to take your money before that they've actually like produced a product, and they like suck you into this hole where it's like, oh no, it's good enough for you to give us some money, and they get you excited about it, and then it's not really done yet, and then you've like, for instance, Valheim, which is a game that I love,
great game,
played through all the content in it presently, but that game has been in early access for
still
like
not
a
out
decade.
Yeah.
It's still not out. I think it comes out this in 2026,
supposedly.
Yeah,
right,
supposedly.
and like, that's, I don't know, I'm just like, what are we doing? So That's grievance number two. Similar to grievance number one, but in a different way. It's not limited to just Star Wars. This is just like in games in general. Like, we're just in this
just
weird
finish
world.
Your game.
Just finish your game and then let me buy it. I don't want to buy an unfinished, unpolished like some thing that you like sell me and then take 8 years to actually like slowly fix the bugs.
Yeah, I made sure that I didn't buy Baldur's Gate 3 when it was in its testing and they only had like Act 1 out, because I did that for Divinity and I never got past Act 1 because I started Act 1 like 6 times. And so I was never actually able to go through until much later to actually go through it because it was so hard to get through Act 1 again. Whereas like I waited for Baldur's Gate 3 to be completely out, like 1.0, here's everything, that's when I picked it up. Yeah. And I agree with Mike, it's like, we need to, I love early access for stuff, like it's a great way of getting people to demo your game and trying stuff out, but you gotta give us something different, and you gotta give us a full game when it's retail time.
Like, I get small indie companies doing the early access thing,
because the
like,
only way to fund it for some people.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I get it. But, like, they just, like, did one for, like, the new RuneScape. Like, you know, it's like, it's like, we're going to put RuneScape into early access. And it's like, what are you doing? like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And then, like, the pre-orders are out of control, you know? The, you know, they just put up the new, like, Diablo 4 expansion for pre-order. And it's just, like, it's, like, 6 months ahead of time. And, you know, there's...
Yeah, I
there's,
mean...
like, the pre-order expansion thing is, like, $120 if you want all the bells and whistles. It's like,
Activision and EA and CDPR are never going to not do that. So I feel like that just comes with the corporate territory, right?
I guess. I just, like, the gaming industry, as far as money goes, is, like, just crazy now. You know, I've been playing Battlefield. Battlefield, is it six? I think it's Battlefield six.
Six, yeah.
So you buy the game, right? And then they're like, oh, we also want you to buy the Battle Pass, which is, like, seasonal, right? And then they're also, like, not only, and Diablo's like this, too. It's like, we want you to buy the Battle Pass, but the cool skins aren't going to be in the Battle Pass. We're just going to put a bunch of stuff you don't want in the Battle Pass, but we're going to sell the Battle Pass to you anyways. And then we're going to put the cool skins on the store for, like, $20 each. So here's, like, $70 for the game. Here's, like, $20 for the, you know, quarterly Battle Pass. And then we also want you to buy, like, microtransactions. So what happened to me buying Battlefield for $60 and just having a whole game?
Mike,
it's not the days.
Have you
anymore.
Heard of the phrase horse armor? That's the answer to your question.
Okay, that was, like, before you were born, Owen, though.
Horse armor is the problem. That started it all.
I mean, unfortunately, Mike, the real answer to your question is that, like, the reason everybody does a Battle Pass is because Valve made 80 bajillion quadrillion dollars using a Battle Pass for Dota 2. Or like, I don't know whether they or League of Legends was first as far as that goes, but then everybody else, like, copied the model. It's the same reason why, you know, it's funny when you look at Overwatch that something even with, like, the notoriety of loot boxes got abandoned in favor of a Battle Pass because the Battle Pass was, like, more profitable than loot boxes that were.
They got off of the loot boxes because of gambling regulations in several other countries.
Oh, okay, I see.
To be fair to them.
I don't have a problem with the idea of a Battle Pass in general. I actually think Fortnite, of all of the games that I have played that have a Battle Pass, I think Fortnite did it the best.
It's free. The game is free, though.
Big
change. Like, do one or the other.
But I like, even if you paid for Fortnite, I think the Battle Pass was fine. And the reason for that is, if you I don't know how it is nowadays, but the last time I played Fortnite, it has been a very long time.
2020 for me was the last time.
Yeah, I think it might even be like earlier than that for me. But when you completed the Battle Pass in Fortnite, you got enough, like, in-store bucks to buy the next Battle Pass. So, like, as long as you completed the Battle Pass, you got the next one. And, like, that is the model that I would love all Battle Passes to be on, because it's just like, okay, if you're playing our game, great. Well, you buy the Battle Pass and you just continue cycling it, and that's fine. But that's not how they do. Everybody else uses them like a subscription.
Yeah. Video games that have no way of you being able to get the Battle Pass by playing the game itself.
Yeah, that's.
I think that's bad. I think that's terrible design because, like, have a way for your players that are playing the game to be able to get it and to be able to, like, maybe they have to do it a little bit longer than your premium whales or whoever, because they're throwing money at it, but still have a way for those people to be able to get it. Because when it's not, like, it just feels so bad. I'm with Mike. Battle Passes, I think, are terrible, man.
All right, Owen, what do you got next?
Yeah, okay, so here's where I end my friendship with Mike, because my next grievance is him. Just him. Someone needs to beat
Finally.
This man, okay? Just, do you know his record right now? He's like, fuck. He's invincible. You can't take him down.
Don't do this.
Like, I've never seen this man lose. I don't think it's possible.
He's on.
We had this discussion yesterday, and he was like, "I lost two games," and I was like, "When?" And he was like, "Just this year, just two, out of like the hundreds that he's played, just two." And someone beat him.
I was gonna say there's stream evidence of him losing, but actually, when you lost, it wasn't on stream.
That's correct.
So it didn't happen.
I rethought about the conversation we had the other day, and I actually think it's three games.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That changes
everything. Three games for the entire year. So different. Like, my local store isn't just, oh, I'm playing against Mike. It's just the, like, all right, how bad am I losing today?
That's where you learn.
Yeah, I mean,
it is. No, I will say I do lose to him every single time, but I can tell that I'm getting better because I'm pissing him off more during our matches. And yeah. So I know I'm getting better moves in that he's like, oh, damn, I didn't like that you did that. And I was like, yes, yeah, I've learned.
The more Mike is putting thought into your games, it means that you're getting better. So
I still can't beat more than one person at Nova. So we'll see.
You'll get there. But yeah, thank you for feeding Mike's ego even more. Awesome.
You're welcome.
Mike, do you have anything to say for yourself?
I mean, I'm a menace and I get it. like you know, I don't know. What am I supposed to say to that?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing is that Mike enjoys hearing that, whereas, you know, I do have a conscience, and if anybody ever said that about me, I would be
in Mike's defense,
totally
he doesn't
offended.
Actively cheat in tournaments that he's in, so...
Well, yeah, but you gotta get it done somehow. I'll make no apologize. Isaac, what do you got next?
Yes, this is requested from some of our local scene who love to play Mandalorians, and I have killed so many Mandalorians with ARC Troopers and my clones, and it feels so bad every time. And I want something to be done to make Mandalorians feel better than clones with search tokens. Like, I feel like they need like a 5-up save or at least the mathematical equivalent. I don't know how to fix that, but it is something that's like, I love Mandalorians, and honestly, I would probably run them myself if I had like the emotional fortitude. Like, when I lose a clone trooper, that is crushing. When I run Mandalorians and lose them, I'm like, man, my week's ruined. That sucked. My 4-man Mando squad that caused like 140 points just got deleted because of a bad roll.
Have you tried telling all of these people that are griping about this to just get good?
Yeah, but
I knew you were gonna do
every time. I don't know why they don't want to play me anymore, Mike. I don't know. Every time I'm just like, just roll better, man. Like, figure it out.
Yeah. Just tell him to stop using bad units.
Just crit the block, man. Come on. Yeah, that's my grief.
I don't know
how to fix the problem. They always feel like it feels terrible when I take a 90-point ARC trooper and kill the Mandalorian squad and like just full sail. I don't think the problem is ARC troopers being super undercosted. I feel like there's like a Mandalorian issue.
Oh God, are we going to talk about ARCs? I don't want to like cost it again. No, my words. God.
Yeah. Oh no.
Way to trigger Mike. Continue.
I don't want to like open that can of worms, but I do feel like Mandos need some love or some sort of like something.
They should just have 5-man units.
That would be great too. Yeah, that would go awesome.
I think that's the real answer. Is that like a super commando unit? Like maybe it would need to be slightly more expensive if you needed to make it work like a super commando, like the Shadow Collective Mandalorians, then or the Rebel Resistance ones. Is that those could be five, like 5 mini units, honestly. Yeah. And like maybe you needed to cost adjustments, but it would make the whole thing feel better because as it is, like losing a single model just feels like
crushing.
It's a knife in the stomach, you know? And so it doesn't feel good when you are one model away from feeling like you've sort of like wasted your cash in that unit if you never even got to like shoot with them. If they're taking like an ARC sniper shot and then they lose a model.
Right.
It feels really
rough.
Why
do you have to say arc sniper, man? Nobody plays those.
Because that's the only sniper that has seen plays so far in Legion 2.6. Like, there's been a lot. We don't even see Cassian. We don't even see Iden. So sometimes you still see Echo. So listen, Mike, I'm not targeting you, okay? not like usual when I am. okay, so it's time for me to do my serious one, because my third one is much shorter and is only half serious. Okay, this is my serious one, guys. We're gonna do a thought exercise. Owen, uh-huh. let's say you're in line at a coffee place, uh-huh. and there's someone else in line who strikes up a conversation. That person, like, you don't know this person, but they seem well-spoken, they seem put together, they seem smart, they're charming, and they tell you that, like, they have the ultimate secret to scrambled eggs, that everybody, all of their friends have, like, been converted, and, you know, they swear by it, they learned it from their grandma. Would you be at least curious as far as, like, you know, what that person had to say? If you don't like eggs, then pick your favorite food.
No, 100%. I'm in. What's the secret?
Okay, right. So, and what is the reason that you would be curious about this?
I'm curious about this.
This is the Socratic method, by the way. For
I'm curious about this because I like cooking. I like making scrambled eggs. I make
them often.
And I want to make the best ones possible. And I look up, like, I don't want to say recipes for it because it's not really recipes, but I have looked up, like, techniques to make eggs better than I currently do.
Yeah, totally. So that makes total sense. I also would be curious about what this person had to say. So I'm going to change the scenario a little bit, and I'm going to shift over to you now, Isaac. Now, let's say it's the exact same scenario. You're in line, that exact same person who seems like, you know, they got a decent head on their shoulders. And they tell you that they know the secret to how to prevent your child from getting measles. Would you want to know what they have to say?
I would hear him out, certainly. Like, it can't hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if they tell you this health drink that, you know, you buy a GNC, and that if you give your kid that every day, they're never going to get measles. Like, how are you going to process that bit of information that they've given you?
I'm probably going to do a lot of research and definitely not just take it. I'm not going to take the magic potion, but.
Or you could even not waste your time.
But yeah, at the very least, probably not even address it at all.
And so like, anybody can answer this. Like, what is the difference between taking a stranger's advice in those two scenarios?
One is eggs, and one is the life of your child.
Yeah,
bingo, steaks. Bingo, you got it. So this is the thing. You people, and I'm looking at you two. You people have been proven by Stanford University to be the worst generation so far at processing media and figuring out what is fact and what is fiction. I'm not saying anything personal about you two, but I'm extremely concerned about the youths in the world, and they're, like, things have gotten so nuts on, like, Instagram and TikTok when it comes to misinformation that they're, like, now there are, like, people with actual credentials that have, like, worked like hell to get decent followings and to make the algorithm like them just to, like, have channels that are dedicated to picking out all of the yucks and quacks that are on there and demonstrating, like, why these people are dangerously wrong. And yet, like, these people that I'm talking about are still going to only have a fraction of the followers that the most popular hucksters out there are going to have. And it scares the absolute crap out of me. So I just want to say something sort of general for everybody, is that if you're looking at a video and somebody is literally just like walking around a store and they're pointing at labels, then I can almost guarantee that person is full of crap. If the video is of a man and he's not wearing a shirt, and it's about anything that is, like, if it's about anything except for like workout routines, this is why Mike and I usually wear shirts whenever we're on Notorious Scoundrels, is to make people know that we're not full of misinformation. And then especially if anybody looks at like an ingredient in a product, like, you know, a food or a vaccine, and then says that something is dangerous because they don't know what it is or because they can't pronounce it, then turn that crap off right immediately and go outside and breathe fresh air, and take a break from your social medias. So I would round it all up by saying, just to remember that the more important a concept is in terms of like the information that you're getting being accurate, that should also make it equally more important that you consider what the source is, whether the source is credentialed by some kind of a governing body of some kind, and whether or not that source could be swayed by political winds. This is like, I'm worried, you guys, about what's going to happen when people that get their information from TikTok are going to be in charge, and I'm going to be an old man. I mean, I'm already old, but like, I'll be an old man who's depending on others to help take care of me, and it's not making me comfortable. Can you guys talk me off the ledge?
No, I think we should ask C3LP.
This is another measles.
What does ChatGPT say about this? Excuse me.
The over-reliance on AI the robot overlords.
think of the things that those doctors that you described that are on social media debunking things, like, right, like, think of what they could be treating, caring, curing, finding new methods to do things of.
None of them want to be doing this.
Yeah, like, they could be doing so many other things than telling you not to cook your chicken with NyQuil, right? Like, that could be a thing.
I'm sorry. Did you just make that up, or is that...
No,
like...
that's an actual thing.
No, he didn't make that up. What's worse is that there's even people out there who are saying that the real way to eat chicken is raw.
All right. I got to look up this NyQuil thing.
At some point, I think you just let Darwinism take its course. Okay?
That's the problem, though, is that we're not allowed to do that.
Yo, the first thing that came up on this Google search was skip the social media NyQuil chicken challenge.
I'm not making stuff up.
It's gross. It's going to like caramelize on your pan and be all like before you get the chicken in.
The challenge is to not vomit or die. That's the challenge.
My challenge is cook something better. My challenge is to cook something that's actually real and not, because I know what happened, right? Like, I guarantee that entire thing was someone made it as a joke on TikTok or whatever, and then put it out there, and someone who was just too dumb to understand that was a joke then went home and made it for their family, and then was like, no, it actually tasted good, it doesn't, or whatever. They wanted just to believe it, and then it just became a thing, and it's like, stop making this a thing. Don't make this a thing.
Yeah, all that like, said, I would try that Baja Blast pie.
That's fair. That's totally
I'm
fair.
Curious about it.
I'll say the pictures of these chickens look disgusting.
I don't know.
They look pretty like something that you're gonna take out of a dumpster.
The coloration
how could you
be
possibly
good.
Eat this?
People have.
Like I said, my level of hope is it could not be lower. So it's up to you, youngsters, to try to bring yourselves back from the brink.
Tried.
That's all I got to say about that. Mike, on that happy note, what do you have next?
He's just sad.
I am sad. I'm going to also do like a real world thing. I want the automobile industry to be held to account for their errors. I had a Hyundai. It got stolen.
Yeah.
Because people posted on Instagram and TikTok.
Social media again. How
to electrically hijack a Hyundai because there was some like security thing in it. And Hyundai should be responsible for that, I think.
I don't disagree.
I don't disagree either. If you make a faulty product that badly, you should feel bad about making your product that badly.
I'm sure there were attempts at class action lawsuits for that.
There were a couple of them succeeded. Unfortunately, my car didn't fall in any of the class action
lawsuits.
That's
how they get you.
There were, you know, whatever. You know, thankfully, my insurance company gave me a pretty good payout for it because they totaled it. But I just, these big corporations, man. They just get away with murder, basically. And then they don't have to pay for anything. And I think it's insane.
I live very close to the Boeing Corporation. I actually
know a few people who work in that factory.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
I feel you. My wife's Kia was stolen with a similar trend back when the Kia boys was a thing. Uh-huh. Like this is when we were dating.
The Kia boys?
The Kia boys, that was like a thing, like where you could take the charger or whatever and hijack the Kias. So
you record yourself on TikTok and upload thing of you stealing somebody's car.
if I may, if you're going to do something illegal, don't videotape yourself doing that something illegal.
Well, but how are your friends going
to
know?
And then it's easier to throw the book at you. But also, like,
for the content.
Yeah, how's the TFT army going to know about the crimes I'm committing if I don't film myself doing it?
TFT army. Like and subscribe below.
That's a good one, Mike. Owen, what do you got next?
Thankfully, I decided my third one was going to be on a lighter note. all right. I want to put this out there that on November 17th of 1978, the world was gifted the Star Wars Holiday Special. And I think we need to bring this back into the fold. I know it's been, you know, kind of outcasted by everyone who's ever been on it. And I know that it's very hard to find. Disney won't put it up on their Disney Plus. But I challenge everyone to go out and to find it and to watch it. Because is it good? Oh, God, no.
Yes.
It's bad.
The next,
but it's entertaining to watch. Did you know the costume designer on that entire thing is Bob Mackey of, like, famous Bob Mackey fame? Like, come on, people. That is crazy.
The holiday special is truly a treasure for so many reasons. The most immediate thing that you'll see is, and I remember the very first article I wrote on TFT, brightly featured the picture of Mark Hamill with the massive amount of caked on makeup that he was wearing when he filmed the holiday special. And then it just like gets better from there with the extremely uncomfortable scene of the grandpa Wookiee watching a very risque hollow thing.
Yeah. He's watching softcore space.
Yeah. He's watching something that really probably shouldn't have been there. But then the best part is that like Bea Arthur is in it. And she plays like one of the bartenders in the Mos Eisley Cantina. And she literally has like a song about like closing up the bar.
Friend, don't forget me in your dreams. Just one more song, friend. And then so long, friend. The nights get shorter, it seems.
It is wild.
100%.
It's insane.
There's also a cartoon where Boba Fett rides a dinosaur. Like, why not?
It's That's the Boba first Fett's time mouth. We have Boba Fett talk.
That was the premiere of Boba Fett.
Yeah, that was the premiere of Boba Fett. It was the first time we had him talk. It's also he's riding, what is it, the Mandalorian's the mythosaur, whatever.
Mythosaur. Yeah. And then it became like canon in Mandalorian show.
Mm-hmm.
When Nick Boba's Nolte mouth. Playing an Ugnaught mentioned it.
Yeah,
which is crazy in its own way.
Happy Life Day, y'all. But I just have to say that we need to own that again. I understand that it's bad, but it's also bad in a fun way to watch. Like, grab some popcorn, throw it on in the background, understand how terrible it's going to be, and just go, wow.
Yeah.
I understand why George Lucas is buying every copy of this thing and then burning them himself so it never sees the light of day again.
But that said, the whole thing is on YouTube, and I don't think that Disney is coming after anybody who has it posted. So you can find it pretty easily. Like there was a time period when you had to like know a guy who had it on VHS in order to see that thing. But it's one of the good things that mass media did for us was to make the holiday special accessible to anyone.
Anyone can find it now.
Yeah. Isaac, I know that you didn't necessarily have another prepared grievance, but maybe you could give us a unit that is overdue to come out in Star Wars Legion. You can represent
overdue.
Something.
A unit that is overdue. I'm trying to think of stuff that hasn't already been
Jango's.
He's low hanging.
We had
fruit.
An entire episode about.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of stuff we haven't already dropped. So Jango's definitely on. Like, he's pretty close to the top on mine. I would like to see Tusken Raiders. I think, like, actual sand
yeah.
people. Like, That'd I think that cool. would be a fun one. That
be very hard gameplay wise.
Give them all like a
melee only
rifle.
They have actual bullet guns.
The big long gun, right?
Bolt action sniper rifles you can fire once a game.
Yeah, exactly.
But it just kills with Pierce 4 or something on it.
Yeah, I mean they were really good shots. They like they nailed a pod racer in episode 1.
What?
So, I mean, hey, maybe they would roll like a 3 red dice with Pierce 3 at range, but only once every third turn.
You just give a turn one volley Revolutionary War style.
Yeah.
It would be
cool to get them in the game. You would just have, like, that's the only problem is that you would have to have, like, a whole battle force of them because they never, like, work for anybody else. But you could put Boba in there. And then that way you could have a command card that says, like, Bantha, and like Star Wars Legion would come full circle.
Me and right,
so fight for him, like fight with him. Just have
yeah,
a little
sure.
like
just Boba
instead
of
having
Tuskens.
Ewoks, you just have Jawas that like run forward.
They would have some kind of like it would be like the opposite of retinue for Anakin Skywalker if he's on the field.
They get like suppression tokens if he's
yeah
just immediately.
Yeah, it's like, oh no,
not just,
is the keyword the women and children.
Yeah,
too?
Yeah.
Just the women and children too.
It's a special command card Anakin gets when playing them.
take two additional wounds. All right, so my last one's much shorter. It has to do with writing, which was my original introduction to the Fifth Trooper as a blog writer. So I'm gonna say a couple of things first without judgment, but they need to be said.
Okay,
the word corps, CORPS, is a rank in Legion. That comes from a French word adapted from the Latin of corpse or corpus, aka a body. And there's actually, I think, Napoleon that came up with the whole idea of calling a group of soldiers a corps. But anyway, it's French via Latin. And the little triangle in Legion is that. It's a corps. That is a corps unit, CORPS, which, again, it only matters when you're writing it. But when you write this other thing, I'm seeing you because the word core, C-O-R-E, is the center of something, whether that's physical or a concept. And so this does matter when you are talking to a new player, when we use, because the word core set can sometimes be interchanged with the word starter set. And listen, I just think that we should just agree to be better.
But aren't using those core units the center of your list?
Not if, what if you're playing a 5 of first, Mike?
You still have to take one.
And technically, if you're playing Wookiee Defenders, you don't actually have to have anything that has a core token in it.
So there's no core in the list, which is factually true in both
which
examples.
In the list is terrible, so you're actually right about that. You know, you're making a good point. Don't try to use the English language against me, Michael. How
the
dare
core
you?
Are the core of the core set.
Yeah, exactly. That's the correct use of all three of those words. Very good job, Isaac. Here's the second thing. If you can count it using, you know, your fingers and toes or an abacus, use the word fewer. If it's anything else, use the word less. I'm just going to move right past that one. Just anybody who's seen Game of Thrones knows that, you know, that Stannis Baratheon used to correct the poor Onion Knight on this all the time, but it eventually got through to him. And so again, there's no judgment here. I'm just like saying it for everybody's benefit when you're speaking or writing the language. The last thing I want to say about this is about myself, is that I'm going to disparage myself because I have been bad at supporting writing, as in when I took over this role of being in charge of the Fifth Trooper Network, I have been neglectful of the Fifth Trooper blog, and I'm just going to say it. And there's people out there who have noticed it, and I apologize for it, and I'm going to do something about it because I'll say this in other places too, but I basically am officially wanting to bring on somebody who's going to be an editor, so that we can start doing more stuff in the blog again. Where I already said on the last episode that we're going to have Ragnar, who is like doing all this Legion stats stuff, and then we're putting it on some podcasts. He's like putting on a Legion Discord for the people who are like, you know, really in it and actually watching Legion Discord in any kind of a regular basis. But let's be honest, like most normal people are not doing that. And so like people want to have a space to like go by and see stuff like that. So I do want to support that. I'm going to make it like going into 2026. I had to look at the date. Like that's the real sign of me getting old. Like what year is it again? Going into 2026, it's something that I want to like remake a priority of the Trooper. So I wanted to apologize that, you know, aside from Matt Bronson, like keeping the blog alive with Shatterpoint articles, basically, that on the Legion side, I just have not had the ability to do both like podcasting and various other things connected to the site and also like keep up the writing. So I'm going to make a change to that. So appreciate everybody's patience, but we will do better.
I mean, in the past full calendar year,
yeah,
right, you have added a second podcast. You have gotten
revived
us. Yeah, you've revived the second podcast. You've gotten us a webmaster, at least someone
yeah.
who knows what
so
they're
at least we
web.
Can technically control the website now, which yeah. was a big problem before.
we've got Rob doing paint videos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is
now.
Cool.
You started doing the minis, which everyone seems to love. Mm-hmm. So you've started
that was Mike's
an entirely
idea.
New series of videos, which everyone yeah. is loving. You're starting, if not has already started, the Tours of Duty.
Don't go there, man. He still hasn't delivered on that.
I still have not delivered the first episode because
you,
editing.
You have time.
I'm in
time.
The middle of editing it, and it is an enormous chore, and I. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wonder about how I can even do episode two, but we'll move on from that for now.
I'm just saying is that if you're not already part of the Fifth Trooper, you're not part of our Patreon, you're not supporting
us. Oh, man, I wasn't even making this an ad. You're working too hard
for
the website.
No, he's reading from the script directly. This is what was
going
to us before.
Man, sorry. Look at everything that you have done in the past year. And then we're also going to have, adding more articles and things on, like, there has never been a better time that your dollar will go further than I think right now.
Man,
to what we're
like
up
link
to.
Right here.
Business patter line over here. it's very kind of you to say, but I do want us to sort of like reach as many corners as we can, which is why we're doing we have the minis, which is why we have the pinging videos, and so we're going to continue to try to make next year an even better year. That said, that I think that officially brings us to the end of our grievances, unless I've missed something.
Whoa.
Do you have another one, Mike?
Whoa.
How many more do you have?
96.
How could you forget about C3LP?
I know.
You didn't think C3LP wouldn't have grievances?
He would only have them if we asked him to. But clearly,
I don't know
that.
What you're talking about.
Go ahead and tell us, Michael.
All right. Great. So I've been asked to relay this to everyone. So C3LP finds it deeply inappropriate that every holiday season, organic players claim they will try no. something fun and casual. This is a lie. You say it's just a narrative game. And then you bring a full meta list and a perfectly practiced turn zero plan. This is not festive. It's a war crime. Okay? You bring unpainted miniatures. You call it a winter theme. You claim you forget rules that conveniently help you. You, during the holidays, you receive new models as gifts. You immediately say, I'll paint these over break. You won't. They will enter your pile of shame, joining units released during last administration. Star Wars Legion is a game about objectives, positioning, and respecting your opponent. And yet, every December, you abandon these values in favor of try hard cheer.
Whoa. Wait, so targeted. Mike, what was the prompt for this message?
The prompt was, C3LP, please come up with some holiday grievances about Star Wars Legion.
So it decided to criticize all organic players. I just want to make sure that we're getting that right.
You got it.
The non-organic players, they come with painted lists, okay?
That's true. Yeah.
They have no gray pile of shame.
All the TTS minis are painted.
Actually, you're right about that.
Technically true.
Well, that was disturbing, Michael.
So,
I mean, it was also disturbing because, like, it was like pretty on point. especially about our podcast.
I think all war gamers have a pile of shame. It's just part of the
craft. it was the part about choosing meta over fun that I felt like particularly targeted by.
According to our Discord, you should.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair. Well, on that chilling note.
brings
to an end to Festivus. I do very much hope that everybody out there has a great great holiday, whatever it is, and we appreciate your support. Mike, you're learning, I'm doing this again, but you're learning this for the first time, Mike, but we're gonna not do an episode next week. Instead, we're gonna release the Star Wars ranking, where your opinion about Seinfeld was almost equally as bad when it comes to your opinion about Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. So the whole world will know about your wrong opinions on multiple shows and movies now.
I feel pretty confident in all of these opinions. I think you can bash me all you want, but Seinfeld's not a good show. It's just not.
He's right.
like
he may be out of line.
Are you guys
right.
Actually from the East Coast? Like, really? I know you're not like New Yorkers.
I mean, like, I just it's like fine. It's a fine show. It's not particularly funny.
Isaac, you're with me, right? Please.
It's been on in the background. I don't have a. I've never watched it. Thought, wow, this is amazing. I've never watched it and said, man, I hate this either. I mean, it's like
it's at best a really poor version of The Office.
Ooh, ooh.
It's a completely different type of comedy. Like, to be fair,
is it though?
Yes. Office is a workplace show, and Seinfeld is like
the setting is different.
Yeah, yeah. No,
okay, but the type of humor is also really different.
I don't know.
Would you say better?
Is
the type of comedy you have
with a certain level of appreciation of culture, then yeah, you might say that it's better.
Let's put it this way. Seinfeld is about a person who, instead of actually acting, decided to make a show about himself.
He's making... Well, and you're talking about Larry David here?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, so the thing... God, we're going to get in a whole other topic. I was trying to end the podcast. Seinfeld is a show about insecurity and the various ways that manifests in 30-something-year-old adults.
I wonder if they were insecure that their show was bad.
Good Lord.
Wasn't Seinfeld the thing that, like, some AI bot was, like, trained off of to make new Seinfeld episodes, and then it somehow got, like, ridiculously racist and kicked off of Twitch?
Yeah, but that's not because of the source material. That's because, you know, AI is what it is.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I
think
C3LP
would disagree.
Let's ask him right now.
If you ever do want a surreal experience, though, I forget what it's called, but you can look up, like, it's actually constantly streaming and, like, self-iterating, this AI version of Seinfeld. It's not very good, but it is at least an interesting thought experience. And listen, just... I'm just saying,
the Lizzie McGuire show was never kicked off of Twitch.
All right, this is going to be the end of the Fifth Trooper podcast as well. So it was really nice working with you guys, but the experiment is over.
It's been real.
We are the people's podcast, okay?
All 15. We should probably cut things off. This has been the Notorious Scoundrels ish. I'm Evan.
I'm Mike.
I'm Owen.
I'm Isaac.
Stay fresh, cheese bag. You started it.
Love of the game.
I don't know.
Bye, everybody. Happy New Year.